Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. A lot happened in the life of a young duck named Philip before he ended up living on a sanctuary owned by Brandon and Alyssa Herbst. The Muscovy duck originally lived with a central Wisconsin woman who hoarded more animals than she could possibly care for.
And when winter came, many of Philip's fellow ducks perished. Philip did survive, but he lost both feet to frostbite. A woman named Vicky rescued Philip when the woman had the animals taken away.
And it was then that several important events in Philip's life took place.
An Oshkosh middle school class offered to try to make prosthetic feet for him, a story that made headlines. And the Herbst Autumn Farm Sanctuary in Cedarburg offered to take him in.
In turn, the Herbst offered to introduce us to Philip and explain why they think his story is more than a single duck's tale. Brandon and Alyssa Herbst, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thanks for having us.
Philip lost his feet to frostbite. How common are injuries like this among the animals that you take in on your sanctuary?
It's not super common to have extreme cases like this, but we do have other animals who came to us with some abnormalities like that. We have our very, very beloved goose, Lumpy, who was sadly dumped. We actually were contacted after he was on the news by the person that dumped him. And she said, oh, he was attacking me too much. And so we took him to the river and left him there. And it's not only really sad because that was basically giving him a death sentence, but he was also disabled. He only has half of a wing. He's missing a full wing and then half of the other one. And he's also missing a toe. And oddly enough, he is the most loving goose I've ever met in my life. He comes up to everybody, and if you don't give him a big hug, he pecks at your pockets until you do.
He photobombs every picture. Every single time somebody's trying to get a video or a picture, there comes Lumpy around the corner. And
you had thought of bringing Lumpy along, but decided, I think, that Lumpy might be too loud for a radio studio.
Slightly, yeah.
And he would not leave any of us alone.
But let's get back to Philip for a minute. And you know, we think of ducks as surviving in the wild, and Wisconsin is a cold place. And there are ducks that live in Wisconsin year-round and do just fine. What was it about Philip that made the winter so dangerous to him?
He is from his breed of duck, which is Muscovy. They're generally from the south, so they don't need to fly south. Being that he's in the Midwest, he will do fine, and there are some Muscovies that have been seen in the wild here. But with him being domesticated, he would not fly. Even we've got a couple mallards, and I mean, they're so stereotypical to fly south and to migrate. They don't. You know, they know that there's free food here, and there's no reason to fly. Why would you? If I have free food and plenty of shelter, I wouldn't leave either.
Well, so a Muscovy in the Midwest that's domesticated needs to come inside.
Right. And we do. And I would say, too, something that's important to note is that with our ducks at our farm, we make sure that in the winter, we really make sure to have a lot of insulation for them, plenty of bedding. We have, in extreme cases, had to bring animals inside if they were sick or something. We're working on making an infirmary, a separate barn that could be an infirmary for sicker animals in the winter. But what I'm guessing at this other farm that Philip came from was that I don't think they were providing him with any extra shelter or bedding. So they just didn't have the protection that they needed.
Why is this the work that you do? Why the two of you?
We love animals.
We really do. It kind of ballooned from our first time we ever really dealt with like a special needs animal was one of our cats developed severe kidney failure. And she was a lot of work for a long time until she passed away. And since then, we started getting involved with a dog rescue, and we've fostered and adopted and
there's a difference, though, between fostering, adopting, and caring.
And then buying a farm.
Exactly.
And we started out with I grew up with having birds, and I always really liked birds. And so when we still lived in the city of Cedarburg, we got a couple chickens just to keep as pets, just because I thought they were needed. That was Brandon's compromise for having birds in the house. And about, I want to say it was only 6 months later, was when we kind of said to ourselves that we don't want to be here anymore. Really, we need more land, and we've always wanted to save more animals. Brandon and I are both vegan, and so we kind of live our lives in a way where we want to help as many animals as possible. And so it just kind of blossomed from that.
And our volunteer base has made it doable. You know, we've got the farm, and it's, you know, beautiful and picturesque, but it was shortly after we got it, one of our neighbors came and contacted us and said, I just happen to have retired and I would love to help. So he comes down and he helps feed when we're running late to work or running late from work. He's able.
This is not your full-time job.
No.
I work for my dad's garage door company in Cedarburg, and Alyssa's a hairstylist. So, you know, we keep the funds coming in that way. But from there, after our neighbor helped, then we got a hold of another farm out by Madison, a farm sanctuary out there. And they started mentioning it to some of their volunteers in Milwaukee, and it just ballooned from there. Because now we've got the ability, because, I mean, we're not veterinarians. We're not farmers by trade, but we're learning every day how to care for the animals and how to care for the land.
Right, so how do you get the technical support? How do you know that you're doing right by these animals?
We've made really good friends with a lot of veterinarians. We have them on speed dial now.
Yes.
And some of our other volunteers who had a lot of experience with farm animals and different kinds. We have some people that are huge horse enthusiasts. We have some people that are big bird enthusiasts. And just giving their expertise. And I belong to a network of people who are mostly chicken, but all kind of farm bird
enthusiasts,
rescuers,
and enthusiasts. Okay,
yeah, rescues and enthusiasts.
We've
learned
Facebook. I was against Facebook for the longest time, and then after seeing how much it grew, our volunteer base and the donations. Because it, like I said, it we could not have done this. I mean, we could have a few, definitely a few. But, you know, as soon as now we're getting into hay season, and once the hay bales start getting laid on the, you know, on the field, you got to go get those picked up before the morning dew. You can't let them sit for days and days. And if I'm running late from work, we can call some volunteers. We couldn't do it without, you know, the people.
How large a farm is it?
It's 9 acres, just out of the city limits of Cedarburg.
What's the significance of a farm sanctuary versus any other kind of animal sanctuary?
Our mission is to give the animals a safe place to be, and we want them to just live their lives and be happy and have kind of a peacefulness and never have a expiration date on them when they're not useful anymore.
Or have any, you know, our horses don't pull our sheep. We do have wool from our sheep, and we do shear it. Come, you know, when it starts getting warm out, we shear it so they're comfortable. But we just give it when the Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, you know, a group of people want to come through. You're more than welcome to find some feathers on the ground and take home a handful of wool. But we do not expect, we don't put any of our animals through any kind of moneymaker deals where it's, all right, well, I got to, you know, take an old horse and get them out and for doing this, that, and the other things. So.
You're not supporting the sanctuary by selling wool from the sheep.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we did talk about that it would be a really great fundraising opportunity if somebody was familiar with how to properly shear them and wash the wool and get it ready for market and then turn it into a scarf and sell the scarf. And that would be very romantic, but it's not practical.
You're not there yet.
No, and we
might not ever be there.
And we really only have 2 sheep, so yeah. It's not like it would really make a whole lot.
and these are primarily farm animals.
Right. All of the animals that are outside, we do have, you know, a couple cats and a dog, but All of them came from, and some of them came from, you know, more backyard farm kind of things, more hobbyists.
And I mean, yeah, some of them come from really, really beautiful backgrounds and hundreds of acres of pasture, you know. And so it's not all of them are really sad, but most of them have a tearjerker story behind them.
You mentioned that Philip came from a situation where the woman who had him had basically been hoarding animals. Is there a critical mass that you can credibly take care of?
Yeah, we kind of always say we're at capacity because we don't want to overrun ourselves. Where we're at right now with the amount of animals that we have based off of how much time we have to commit with our volunteers and ourselves and how much we can afford, we're pretty comfortable. That being said, you know, there's always a little bit of wiggle room, but that's something that has always been really important to me, that we never get to a point where our animals start to receive less care because we have too many.
Yeah. Philip is missing his feet. You mentioned Lumpy. Philip has, I think, a buddy as well.
Yes.
There are animals with special needs who don't always do very well in the wild. How concerning is it how the other animals on your sanctuary might take to Philip or
sure.
Lumpy or whoever?
So whenever we bring in a new animal with a great history or with an unknown history, like Lumpy was, they go into a quarantine area and they get a veterinarian comes out and we check them over. Any concerns, sometimes we'll have to draw blood, make sure that there's no parasites being brought in that could infect the rest of them. But when we had somebody like Philip, who after they're done being quarantined, they can get picked on because they are clearly going to be, you know, the ones that won't keep up with the rest of the herd, and they're the low man on the totem pole. But now, thankfully, we've got some of these other special needs ducks and whatnot. So Philip's new buddy is Sassy Pants, who is a wonderful, most beautiful duck, and she is very sassy. And the two of them are, Sassy Pants has a constant foot problem. And so she's in quarantine right now, getting better. Philip, he can't be out on the pavement or anything, so he's in our quarantine room. And the two of them have become best friends, and they sleep right next to each other, you know, all day and all night, and it's wonderful.
With all the publicity that Philip has garnered, does he, I know you don't want to exploit your animals, but does he in some way do a public relations mission for the sanctuary that the two of you could not do on your own?
Absolutely. We feel like as much as we were just bringing him in just because we wanted to help him, it's been kind of amazing for our sanctuary to get so much exposure in such a short time. And it's so important for us because then that way we can spread awareness, not only that, but and then, you know, also bring in much needed funds at times. And we've also had a lot of people contact us about volunteering. So he's so special to us in so many ways, but it's been crazy how much he's helped us as well.
And you've had the sanctuary for how long?
A year and a half.
And so, I mean, I don't know how late into the evening you work and when the animals finally, you know, settle down and go to sleep. But at that point where you're lying there in bed and the animals are where they are, what are you thinking about the work that you do?
It's unbelievable. It's just it feels, you know, I mean, we've all read those stories where people sell everything and get a sailboat and go around the world, and it's so romantic and wonderful. And to us, it was just practical to sell everything we had. And well, not everything we had. We sold the house in the city and bought the farm right on the border of the city limits. And it just made sense. So when we sit, you know, inside and we heat the house with a wood-burning stove, and we spend a lot of our evenings by the stove, it's just surreal. It doesn't feel realistic.
But we do. Once we're done for the night and I'm done reading and catching up on emails and everything, it is kind of, it feels really, really good to know that we were able to make our dream a reality, because I do feel that a lot of people want to do something like this. And there are a lot of days where, you know, you get out there and you're just so tired and, you know, this animal is all of a sudden sick and this animal is doing this, and you have to kind of, you know, sometimes there's been times where I've had to call some of my clients at work and say, you know what, I got to reschedule you because I got to emergency take this duck to the vet or something.
And it's 40 below in April.
It's always when it happens. So it's definitely not always this picturesque, perfect life, but I have not once regretted it.
Well, it's an amazing story. And Alyssa, Brandon, thanks to both of you, and best of luck with your work.
Thank you so much for having us, Mitch. It means the world to us that you've invited us on your show.
Brandon and Alyssa Herbst own and operate Autumn Farm Sanctuary in Cedarburg. In addition to the various animals they already cared for, they now count the world-renowned Philip the Duck among their residents.
While the prosthetic feet made by an Oshkosh middle school teacher and his class look nice, they are not quite comfortable enough to use them. The Herbst say a number of departments at UW-Milwaukee are coming together to work on more permanent feet for Philip. You can find pictures and video footage of the first duck to visit the Lake Effect Studio at WUWM.com.